Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, offering globally recognised project management training which leads to consistent and better results in your projects.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. Later in the podcast, I'll be speaking to Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise, Donegal, about Local Enterprise Week, which gets underway on Monday. But first, Siobhan Grant from Fawn is owner of Grant Connections, a consultancy firm that specialises in helping small businesses. She's also a network manager for Tech Northwest SkillNet, which is based at the CoLab in Letterkenny. Siobhan was reared in the family hotel, Ranmer House, so business became her passion from an early age. After graduating from Galway University, Siobhan worked as an accountant. And after 8 years with the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, she set up her own business advisory and trading company in 2006. Siobhan began by reflecting on 2020.
2020 was a very challenging year for anybody in business. And as someone who runs a very, very small business, there's just me in the business, it was sometimes very tough. But it was also very, very rewarding in that the core of what I do is to help other business people to make progress and to look at the issues facing their businesses. And we had any amount of those in 2020. And most of the clients that I've been dealing with and most of my friends and neighbours and family members who are in business have all survived and are looking forward with some degree of optimism of what lies ahead later this year.
What is the mood among the business sector at the minute, locally?
I suppose there's a different mood depending on what sector you're in. If your doors are closed and you're paying rent, then you're not in a good mood because you have no ability or a very limited ability to earn money. You're dependent on state supports. And the critical, most difficult thing is you don't know when it's going to end. If you knew it was going to be a certain amount of time, then you could plan to open up again. But at this minute, none of us know when that's going to happen. But most of the businesses that I'm dealing with at the minute are trading, be it online or remotely, or people manufacturing or essential services. And those that are less busy than they have been using the time really productively to make plans for the future, which is hugely motivating for me and for the local economy.
Can you give me some examples, Siobhan?
I suppose the biggest single example that I've dealt with in the last month or so is maybe John McGinley Buses. I was down with James down in Maharoti. James McGinley's put up a huge facility in his hometown or village and Gordahork, and he defied the odds in that he was halfway through a huge expansion project when COVID hit, and he decided to go ahead with it. And he is now making plans for next year, for 2022, because he's in the tourism game. He has a tour operator business, he has a cruise business, and most people would know him for the buses up and down the road to Dublin. And while those buses are still going on a very skeleton basis, it allows him to keep people in employment and to keep literally the show on the road. But what motivated me greatly about James when I was down with him a few weeks ago is he's full of enthusiasm for what the future will bring. And that's, it's great to work with people like that.
Given the challenging times that businesses are in at the moment, does that pose different challenges for you in relation to what advice and how the advice that you give them is relayed?
Yeah, well, there was times last summer when I was giving people advice remotely. So sometimes that was on Zoom or Teams. Sometimes it was on the phone, but it was never in person. And as you know, Kieran, we know each other a good number of years. We'd both be cut from the same kind of cloth. We do our best business when we're face-to-face with people. That's maybe something to do with the age we're at, and I accept that you have a couple of years on me. But my style, I mean, I recently turned down a piece of work that was involving delivering training online because that's just not my forte. I'm not an expert in technology. I don't like dealing with people remotely. But you asked me about challenges and how I operate my business. Last summer, I found myself sometimes in my garden, sometimes in my home office, sometimes in my sitting room, on the phone or on a screen, trying to help people who had huge financial difficulties. And some of these people had never met me. And that was hugely trusting of them. Now, some of the government schemes, like the local enterprise office, ran really, really good schemes. They called them the business continuity vouchers. So basically, any business, or there's very few eligibility criteria, as we call it in the game, most people qualified for it. So if you'd an issue in business last year, you could get the use of my time for nothing. And that worked because people had nothing to lose. But some of the stories I heard and some of those calls were difficult to deal with. But all of the people that I was dealing with last summer are still in business. And that's good. And on New Year's Eve, I got a text from one of them. And he was probably the smallest. In fact, he was the smallest business that I dealt with. But the text was to say that as a result of my advice, he had had a good year.
And how rewarding was that?
I mean, that wasn't about the money. I don't remember what that invoice was or when it was paid. But I remember getting the text on New Year's Eve from somebody I'd never met before last August. And the piece of work that we did just meant he got into a different type of business, and he made people happy, and he made himself and his family happy.
Resilience is regarded as being key for businesses that find themselves in the challenging times that they're in at the minute. Would you concur with that?
Aye. Apart from my own resilience, which has been challenged at times, I suppose the resilience that has impressed me most in the last year would have been my old pal Seamus McMenamin over in Killigordon. Seamus started McMenamin Engineering a long time ago and was one of my first clients when I set up as self-employed a number of years ago. And he's now been a client on and off for 20 odd years. But Seamus operates in the construction sector. He owns Mantis Cranes and was a finalist in the Ernest & Young National Business Competition a number of years ago. And the hassle that he has dealt with, and when I say he, I mean his team, you know, between his businesses in Ireland and in the UK, he has a significant team of people. But sites have opened, sites have closed, people have had COVID, people have had tests. And through it all, he's kept anybody that wanted to work in employment, and he has facilitated growth and expansion in his business over a really, really turbulent time. And that's resilience. It's also a whole lot of other things. But there was days in October when I was talking to Seamus on the phone, and he had a doctor on the other line trying to get tests for some of his employees. And you can't but admire somebody who take that level of interest in the people that work with them.
So a very good example of keeping the show on the road.
Yeah. And I mean, that man's working 7 days a week, and at times he likes to ring me on a Sunday morning too, which means you talk about the different challenges at the minute. You know, I've had to be adaptable and do business either in a format or in a way that I wouldn't have done before. So if people who have big issues want to talk to me at the weekend, then that's what needs to happen in order for everybody in the region to stay going and to progress.
You're based in Letterkenny. You have good experience in relation to what's going on the county and regionally and nationally. The overall picture of business, what's your view at the minute?
Let's get the negative out of the way first, because there's bigger positives. The picture for retail and local services that can't operate online or struggle to operate online is not good. The bar trade, the vintners, the restaurateurs, all of those really good, solid businesses have been decimated. And nobody can tell you with any degree of certainty that they're going to make money this year. So that's one side. The other side is the positivity of the people who are operating online. I mean, I hope Claire and Anne and La Maison, don't mind me mentioning them, they started a training course last night on interior design. I think they had 15 people on the course. Less than half of them were from Donegal. So they're making money now out of people in Carlow, in Dublin, and wherever else who are logging in to get interior design advice from people in Letterkenny.
So is reinventing a part of the new way of doing business?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I don't like cliches and thinking outside of the box or blue sky thinking, but I've had to do it in that, you know, I like going out and being in an office and I like dealing with people face to face. That hasn't been possible for the last while. So I've had to go into my home office and work from there. And I've had to ask people questions on a screen, or on a phone, that I would struggle to ask them face to face.
You find that difficult?
I find it the most challenging thing I've had to deal with was last summer when I was asking people about their finances. And to this day, I've never seen those people. So they had to trust me. Like, it was, we all signed confidentiality agreements and all the rest of it. They had to trust me that they would send me their accounts, that I wouldn't disclose them, and that I would be professional, which I am. But that was a big ask. Not alone were they in bother, but they had to trust strangers to try and help them get out of it. But, as I say, they're all still in business, so something's working.
There's a lot of state aid available at the minute for businesses. Are the businesses aware of exactly what help is out there at the minute for them, Siobhan?
Some businesses are. Some businesses are very clever at getting as many schemes as they possibly can. Sometimes that's down to having good accountants or having somebody in the office that's clued in. But with the best will in the world, like, this is my bread and butter. And there's so many schemes from Fáilte Ireland to the local enterprise office to Enterprise Ireland. It would take a very complex mind to know everything that's available to every business at the minute. And even with that, every scheme is changing every now and again. There's opening dates and closing dates. But for any business that thinks they might be able to avail of more support or even just wants to ask the question, I would encourage them to contact their accountant or whoever does their books. Things like the revenue website or the Citizens Advice website or the local enterprise office is a wonderful initial point of contact for Donegal businesses. Or Uthras, any of the staff in Uthras are more than happy to take calls to deal with the people that live in those areas. So ask the question, lift the phone, send the email. If you want to ask your local politician, whatever way works for you. But there are schemes out there, and if you're in business, you owe it to yourself to ask the question.
Recent figures have suggested that there are new startups on the way this year in Donegal. Does that surprise you, or does it encourage you, or both?
Doesn't surprise me, because this morning I had a phone call from a guy who is from Inishowen and he's currently based in business in Dublin. And since I started working with him maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I think this is his sixth business, and that guy is less than 30. So he is successful in Dublin at the minute. Things are ticking over, but he's already moving on to the next project. So there are creative and inventive people, and adversity encourages creativity. When our backs are to the wall, we can be at our most inventive. So it doesn't surprise me that there's lots of new things coming along.
You've helped countless businesses during the years, Siobhan. Is there one business that stands out that started very small and that has exceeded maybe their expectations and yours?
Well, I hate to give this man publicity because he's had loads recently, but Dennis Sheridan probably does. And Dennis will tell you about the night that himself and Lee Gooch sat in the front row of one of my classes. I can't even remember. Somewhere in Letterkenny, I did a workshop on marketing or getting more business or something of that ilk. And apologies to the rest of the people in the room, but it was the Lee and Dennis show. And Dennis Sheridan, being who he is, he let Lee do all the talking and he just did all the listening. And that's probably 15 years ago now. I can't remember. But I don't think I knew either of them at that stage. And in different ways, I've kept contact with both of them. But Dennis would have set out with very humble plans. And he'd be the first to say that they have more than exceeded his expectations. And I say, I spoke to Dennis last week and I'll probably be talking to him again this week. I love dealing with people over the years because it's not about me getting them a grant or me talking to them about a difficult employee. It's about a long-term relationship that evolves, and sometimes I don't speak to the likes of Dennis Sheridan for a month or a few weeks, and then other times I'm listening to him every day of the week, yeah, depending on what's going on.
We had Dennis on the show a few weeks back, and we got a lot of very positive reaction because Dennis had a good story to tell, and he's told the story very well.
Aye, well, Dennis, somebody recently described me as the agricultural woman of business advice, and that was a compliment.
You better explain that one to me.
Well, that I talk very in a very straight and ordinary man or woman's language. That was the way in which it was delivered by Eamon McFadden from Creasla. So thank you, Eamon, for translating. But the compliment was that I'm a straight talker. I might have lots of knowledge, but I can deliver it to people in an understandable way. And Dennis is a wee bit the same in that Dennis has oodles and oodles of ability, but he treats every situation individually and deals with the people and the process that he's faced with on that given day.
Siobhan, you're network manager for Tech Northwest Skillnet. Talk to me about that.
Skillnet is an agency which is funded by the Simon Harris's department, the Further and Higher Education, and it subsidises training for businesses. So if you're in business and you want some of your staff or yourself to do a training course, be it a master's or a one-day course, you can get a subsidy or part of the cost of that paid for by Skillnet. There are 65 Skillnets operating throughout the country. Some of them are based in a region, like the one I manage, Tech Northwest Skillnet. Others are sectorally based. So Sean Carlin runs a retail Skillnet. So anybody who has a shop, be it a one-person shop or Arnott's with hundreds of people working on it, can go to Sean Carlin and his team anywhere in the country, and he will deliver, organise and fund training. Tech Northwest Skillnet deals with the technology sector in Donegal, Leitrim and Sligo. So my meetings this morning were with people who work for Primerica, which is now TCS, and looking at what training that they're planning over the next year, what funding we can give them for that, and just making sure that the companies maximise the state support that's available for training. That's basically what Skillnet do. And Tech Northwest Skillnet is hosted here in the building that we're in by LYIT through their CoLab centre on the Port Road in Letterkenny. So we've got the support of everybody from Paul Hannigan down to the Isabel, who let us in and was very hospitable to us today. And that's wonderful, because LYIT are doing it because they care about the future skills of the region. They give me this great office, and they also facilitate me in terms of accounts and all those kind of things, which mean that I can deliver a better rate of funding for any business in Sligo, Leitrim or Donegal.
You mentioned future skills. Are we looking at a whole new set of future skills?
We are. And I mean, I was talking with Gareth Houston, who's the Training and Learning Development Manager in TCS, what was Primerica, this morning. And some of the concepts that he's talking about are just names or buzzwords to me, you know, augmented learning and virtual reality and all those things. The quote of the sort of the Skillnet and the learning family that I'm part of is that we don't even know the skills that are going to be required in a few years' time. All we can do is keep ourselves in tune with research organisations and thought leaders internationally so that we keep up with the posse. And that's what's great about the fact that we do have multinationals in the technology sector, as well as the small guys like the Gartons and the 3D Issues. You know, it's not all, when I talk about technology firms in the Northwest region, it's not all about the huge big American or Indian owned companies. There's lots of Paul McNulty's and Malachy Eastwood's around that are doing the small techie companies as well. But the programming skills that they're currently using are changing every day and every week. And the challenge for the training organisations that we use is that they keep one step ahead of where industry are at.
Grand Connections is established 2006.
Yeah.
Business is very much in your DNA. So yourself and your business life has been there since you can, as far back as you can remember.
Aye, well, for those people that know me way back, originally from Fawn or Buncrana, whichever, and one grandfather started a snuff and tobacco business in Derry and moved across the border to Buncrana. Another grandfather was part of the Daniel Doherty Bakery in Moville and set up what is now an altar bread business, the Still in Moville, run by my cousin Michael. And some of my brothers and sisters have and have been in business. So growing up, I was number 6 out of 7. I was fascinated by the snuff and tobacco business. Went into it at 13 and loved it. Was working as a customs officer before I was 15. And I never had to choose what I was going to put in my CEO application. It was going to be business. So, interestingly, my wee sister, Lucia, who's in Cork, we grew up in a hotel in Fawn, Ranra House, for people that knew it and still there as a building. Lucia went straight into hotel management. So it's interesting how we're only a couple of years apart. She had no qualms. She was going into the hotel business. I hate it. There was one funny story of my father was the trustee and captain and president of the Northwest Golf Club. And he was hosting his bridge night. And he asked Lucia and myself to do the catering. So Lucia had no problem organising the kitchen and getting the stuff and making all the stuff. So I was front of house. Well, let's just say, like, you know, I was going out offering people free tea or coffee and free sandwiches and apple tart. The choice was apple tart and I can't remember what the other one was. And I was getting a lot of, oh, I don't really like apple tart. And coming back out to Lucia and using expletives about what I would do with a certain person and their dislike of apple tart. But that's the beauty of families. It's the beauty of businesses. Everybody has different skills. And, you know, going back to our friend Dennis Sheridan, has been cute enough to spot the different skills and letting people work at what they're best at is, you know, is the single biggest trick in business, as far as I can see.
What would your advice be now for someone that has an idea, that believes in the concept that they've come up with?
Check it out with somebody you can trust. So if you've got an idea in your head, get it out. And I recently had this conversation with my son, Andrew. Andrew's 19 and is currently working in construction in the UK, but he has an idea. And that doesn't surprise me because his father has several businesses. Anybody knows the halfways about Danny Shone or about the Globe. They're steeped in business and his mother has a bit of a business experience too. So apart from football, which he tried and didn't excel as well as your young buck, but Andrew's passion has been sport and business from as long as he's been on this earth. So my advice to Andrew, which is more challenging as a parent than a client, is talk to your friends about it. See what they think. If you can trust them, and he has good friends that he does trust. And then see, you know, well, what would it take to make it happen? And that is that money? Is that effort? Is it opportunity? What would it take? And then there's no day that is the right day to take the plunge. But I'm certain that Andrew will take the plunge. I took the plunge. I remember the day I decided to do it. And most people I know that have taken the plunge have enjoyed the journey that they're on.
And finally, what does 21 hold for Siobhan Grant, Grant Connections and Tech Northwest Gilnet?
Well, personally, I'm hugely optimistic about my getting back to golf and getting back to social life and doing a wee bit of travel, and they're all going to happen. Tech Northwest Skillnet is going to be a challenging year because all of our training has been delivered online, and the complication now of Primerica going through a takeover has meant that there's a lot of changes, and they would be one of our core clients. So there are a lot of changes there. And even the smaller guys that were dealing with what training they thought they wanted last year is changing and will continue to change. So Elaine Roger, who works at administration for the Tech North West Skillnet project, is brilliant. She's working remotely, and every day we have a different set of challenges, and we also have a steering group made up of 10 different business and agency staff from all over the region, and we're meeting next week remotely to plot out the year. You know, we've started the year, and we've talked remotely about what we're going to do, but the 10 of us are going to get together on a screen next week and say, right, here's what we've done, here's what we're planning to do. And yeah, the year is going to start. The year is going to finish a lot better for me personally and professionally than it started.
Siobhan Grant, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran.
After the break, we'll be talking to Michael Tunney.
Do you need help developing an online presence for your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service is recruiting for its next online diploma in social media for business. Contact Enterprise Engagement at Donegal ETB or call 912 0500.
Next Monday marks the start of Local Enterprise Week. Joining me to look ahead to the event is Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise Donegal. Michael, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
Michael, given the world that we are living in at the minute, Local Enterprise Week will be online for the first time. So how different will the experience be in 2021, perhaps compared to previous years?
Well, it'll be very different on a number of counts, Kieran. One, as you say, it'll be all online. Therefore, it has the positive sides that it's much easier for people to attend and attend a range of the events. And hopefully we have, in most cases with our other enterprise partners at local level, have very few clashes. So people kind of have that. It's much easier to log in and attend events. The downside of it is probably you don't have that experience of meeting people informally, the one-to-one contacts, either over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea beforehand or during or after. And that'd be a bit of informal networking and meeting the staff, both in the Enterprise Office, Enterprise Ireland, DTB, wherever else, who there's no guilt, that kind of is gone. But I think it's much easier now for people to actually log on and attend an event and attend a range of events. So if you were like an Inishowen and you wanted to attend an event down in the south of the county, you don't have to get in your car and travel 2 hours. So it's much, much easier that way. And we have found the whole movement online has made what we do, I suppose, a lot more accessible to people and much higher levels of attendance. You know, there's always a question about the depth of that attendance, but definitely people are logging in and using the technology. So very much different that way. It's a whole lot easier from our perspective as well, Kieran, because we don't have to be wondering who's got to be here, there and everywhere in the county and taking this stand there and that stand there and all the rest. So easier to organise. All going well, the technology will work, and that's the only thing that's dependent, and hopefully we're testing that this week. So no, we're looking forward to a good week, and delighted to say that even with the online, we have 19 events in Donegal. Again, you know, we started in Donegal 18 years. It'll be our 18th Local Enterprise Office or Local Enterprise Week. So we should be kind of cracking the nut at this stage. But delighted that we've such good participation from the other agencies, you know, between LYIT, Colab, a couple of enterprise centres like the Basin and Malifaston Order, Udras, you know, ETB are in there along with us. You know, it's in the Inishowen Innovation Centre and Wise Air and Colab. So, no, it's great to have them all on board.
How important is it that it's very much a team event? And as you mentioned, it's the coming together, Michael, of so many agencies. And it's very much, it's the one opportunity, I suppose, in Donegal for all agencies to come together under one umbrella and showcase what's going on and what help is available.
Yeah, no, I think it's very important because, and it's interesting because I'm a bit of a magpie, so I still have the old brochures of 2004 and 2005, and it was just the then Enterprise Board, and it was just the Enterprise Board put on Enterprise Week. And then as over the years it has grown, we've become more open, and the other agencies have become more open, so we work very much collectively on this, and it's part of not only in this Enterprise Week, but we have ongoing kind of discussions and formal meetings among all of the enterprise support agencies to ensure that we're not duplicating, competing or overlapping and trying to make sure we're covering all the bases. So, no, it's very important. I think it's very important from the county, and I suppose the other side, we do this really in the context of providing supports and as interesting a week and then as interesting as supports and as relevant supports throughout the year as we possibly can to our collective clients across the county and the whole area of enterprise and business ownership. Yeah.
As you said, 18 years, how did the concept of Local Enterprise Week come about?
Oh, it came about, Kieran, because we were actually going to look, we did a little bit of a booklet and case studies, and we were looking for an event to launch it, and the event became a week. So that's, you know, to be fair now, prior to that, way back, just the year before, the year I came to Donegal, which is whatever it is, 25 years ago, when Michael McLoone was chairman, was county manager and was also chairman of the then Enterprise Board, he had done, there was a significant piece of research done on the Donegal economy at that particular time, and I think that was the equivalent almost, because they had four events in four different days around the county, and they moved that, you know, different speakers, but it was really highlighting the, it was bringing the findings of that out to the county. That probably was the first format. We probably used that then as a format maybe 4 or 5 years later when we looked at Enterprise Week. Yeah,
I got a good look at the brochure that you kind of sent on over the weekend there, Michael. There's a lot packed under the 5 days.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, and you look at the brochure. We're using kind of the spring back in the context that it is spring, and I suppose people are looking at what we've gone through in the last 12 months. I mean, we were lucky last year. We just got Enterprise Week done and dusted in the first week of March before there was the lockdown. But no, it's a very full calendar probably, but we're looking at sort of looking at the whole area of resilience, that ability of people and businesses to experience the trauma or the pressure and then to come back to where they were, and hopefully and be looking towards the future. So, you know, our Monday is very much around that. It's about that leadership. It's about resilience. And we hope with our two key speakers there, we have Emma Jones, who really is into the whole area of startup, but also resilience and startup, Enterprise Nation. She's done a lot of work over in the UK and now doing it in Ireland. And we have Mark Pollock. And a lot of people will be very familiar with Mark Pollock's story about losing eyesight and then losing mobility and how he has overcome those and that personal resilience. And then on the Monday, we have three case studies. Jenny Timoney, Pinkfit. Again, Jenny would have had a couple of businesses in the past. Failure, you know, well, not failure, but closures and move on to something else. Cahal McGloin, who's originally from Ballyshannon, has a number of IT companies, but he's US-based himself and his wife, but they have a number of companies they've set up in Ireland and built them out of Ireland into the US, and he sort of changed that. And then you have Rosie Temple, sort of the next generation of the Temples in McGeehan, about how they have addressed that issue around resilience, you know, addressing continuous change. So that'll set the tone, hopefully, for the week. And I think the wee quirky thing we have each morning of Enterprise Week here, and there's a, through the creative hub or the hubs in the county, there's a session each morning on about wellness. Yeah. So whether it's maybe about, you know, yoga or how to eat well or how to relax. So those half-hour sessions are being organised by those five hubs each morning, 9:30 or 10:30, depending on the start of the other events. So again, it's an interesting kind of take, and it probably just reflects where we are and some of the things we've become more conscious of over the last 12 months. You know,
yeah. Well-being has become, or the importance of well-being has become a part of everyone's life, Michael, and I'm sure with people and businesses trying to sort of keep everything together, more important for businesses, or equally as important for business owners than anyone else?
Absolutely, there is that. Yeah, I mean, there's looking after the business, but there's also that bit of you need to make sure you're looking after yourself, you know, and keep the two in some way separate, but one affects the other, and how you separate one from the other and kind of can pigeonhole off. That's the business, and I deal with the business there, and but at the same time, I look after myself and my family over here, you know. And I suppose the big challenge as well when we talk about leadership is actually people in business not being sort of swamped in the business, but able to stand back and give the day-to-day running to somebody else, and then how am I going to take my business to the next level, and to stand back and think about it and applying that kind of thought process, as opposed to, you know, I need to be getting another product out of this machine in every hour, you know, or I need to get my staff to be doing this, instead of saying, no, somebody else can look after that, but I'd be thinking about, so where's the business going? I think that's for the kind of the leadership, and that's what we need in more businesses, so people will be thinking to the future and how they're going to, and again, in that context of Brexit, how are we going to develop opportunities beyond the UK, you know, and thinking about what are the changes happening now and how is it going to affect our businesses? So that'll be a critical thing in that context of leadership as well.
You mentioned Brexit, Michael. I know the local enterprise office have been very active in supporting businesses and rolling out programmes. What's the feedback been like since the support mechanism was rolled out?
Oh, well, in relation to Brexit, thankfully, Kieran, so far this year, I mean, we've had a few inquiries, but not too many. And the feedback we've got, we had a session there about 10 days ago with Revenue in the local enterprise offices. Revenue were saying, look, the main issue so far is people putting in maybe the wrong codes, not organising enough money to pay for this, you know, for the cost of this, you know, minor things that people, you know, you learn by doing. Now, there are, you know, you'll hear some stories about, you know, maybe only talking to somebody just the other day saying, noticing that in one or two retailers there was a few products not on the shelves anymore. But, you know, there's we're not hearing too many negative stories. And maybe it's a sign of that businesses had prepared more for it than we had thought. And maybe, you know, as I've always said, businesses will always find a way to do business. And I think irrespective of how hard or how soft Brexit was going to be, businesses would always find a way. The one thing we did know about Brexit, there was going to be customs. And there was a lot of supports put in there by government, whether it be the skill nets training, the local enterprise office training around customs, the Enterprise Ireland training and grant supports for it. So a lot of supports there. And thankfully, it's still early days, I think, though, Kieran. I think there's time will tell, maybe the next 3, 6, 9 months, just what the impacts of Brexit. But I think businesses will always find a way to do business. And we're well used to sort of cross-border stuff. And wherever that border is, whether that's between ourselves, Derry and Tyrone, or whether that's a bit further east, you know, we'll cope with a border, you know.
The whole area of remote working is one of the issues that the Local Enterprise Week will deal with. What's your take on remote working now, say 11 months on into the pandemic, Michael?
Well, I think there's lots of pluses to it, and then you hear some negatives. I mean, I think from the point of view of remote working has become a reality now that I think, you know, 12, 15 months ago, we'd never have thought. And again, the adoption of the technology within business has moved so much quicker than what I think. That's one thing the pandemic has done. It has made so many of us now a lot more au fait, comfortable with things like Zoom or, you know, the various platforms there for meeting online, and the use of it across all the age groups. So one is the familiarity, one with the kind of spread of it. But I think then in the context of enabling people to work back in Donegal or in any other rural county out of Dublin's or the Belfast, the Corks, the Galways, the Limericks, I think definitely there's an option, a possibility there now. And, you know, prior to, I suppose, COVID, we had heard, I mean, that one or two of our large employers here had people working remotely in other parts of the country. But now it's any kind of size business is having experience, and indeed the public sector in particular is experiencing it. You hear figures that, you know, surveys that, you know, a third of people, kind of staff, would say they want to continue to remain full-time remote. Others want to be in the office, maybe a third in the office, but others want a third of a blended. And I think the blended working is probably the way it'll go. But it definitely has driven the technology agenda. I suppose it emphasizes the need for broadband and as high a quality broadband as you can get in as many locations within the county as you can. So those are issues. But I think as well, it uses as an opportunity for rural counties like Donegal to promote our county as good places and good locations actually to work from. But also more importantly, from our perspective in local enterprise office, we'd be saying great locations to actually have a startup. You know, and it's interesting, you know, we still get 4 to 5 emails every day, you know, about startups. And I just answered one there this afternoon, somebody with a business in a European country looking to set up a subsidiary or a new startup in Donegal based on what they're doing in that European country. And so I think it'll get people to think that way, Kieran, and that can only be good. And I think there are opportunities for new startups, but that remote working and allowing people, I suppose, to move out of expensive urban locations to rural counties, I think there's a definite opportunity there for counties like Donegal.
And finally, Michael, what are you hoping that businesses will take away from Local Enterprise Week?
Well, historically, Kieran, we would always said Enterprise Week is a week to take a wee bit of time out of your business and think about where is your business at and where do you want to take it. And whether that's looking at, you know, some of the events around the use of technology, you know, simple things like using your smartphone for developing your own videos, whether it's like looking at the future of your business and around the sustainability and the circular economy, whether it's around innovation and how do you be more innovative, it's about taking that time out. As I said at the start, you're not going to have the opportunities for the informal kind of networking and the one-to-one chats, but hopefully we'll get there later on in the year and that. But so it is about taking that time out and giving businesses that opportunity to hear, in particular, and we've quite a lot of local speakers, local businesses, to hear from local case studies as to what they're doing, how they've addressed issues around COVID, Brexit, how they've addressed leadership, how they've addressed, you know, just strategic thinking, how they've looked at, you know, how they've set up their own business, you know, what have they looked at in relation to skills. So it is that learning and kind of that peer learning, but also then to have a couple of maybe inspirational speakers come in that just raises I suppose, the ambition of companies in the county. So it's a bit of both. It's raising the ambition, but giving businesses and people who either may be in business, but may also just have an idea around a business, the opportunity to take time out and to learn from others. And hopefully, I think, you know, again, there's a significant selection of events addressing a lot of business topics. And with some, I think there were some interesting speakers and some innovative speakers. And I would just urge, again, people to take the opportunity and log on and attend some of the events.
Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise Donegal, thanks for joining us on Business Matters. That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Siobhan Grant and Michael Tunney. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, offering globally recognised project management training which leads to consistent and better results in your projects.